Well, I hope you've got most of your Christmas gifts sourced already and you don't have too many difficult requests this year. This evening we look at another baby who came as a gift. We join the shepherds and the wise men. We travel again to that stable in Bethlehem to see God's gift to the world, a baby boy. And I want us to see that this gift, the gift of Christ, is just what we needed. He's vital. And that this gift is more than we ever imagined. He's wonderful. Well, our guide is that last Bible reading from the start of John's Gospel. The writer John reflects on his years as a disciple of Jesus and explains why his birth is such a priceless gift for all ages. We'll see two things the birth of Jesus brings. The first is truth. The birth of Jesus brings truth. Truth about God. John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word is God the Son, who had been with the Father from all eternity. And that first Christmas, the Word became flesh, entered our world to bring us truth about God. I don't know if you've planned yet what films to watch over Christmas. I understand that tomorrow evening Jane Eyre is showing on BBC Two. Or maybe like me, you'd be more interested in the cartoon Chicken Run on Christmas Day in the morning. Some of the best classics are by the director Alfred Hitchcock. Did you know that even though he is the director, Hitchcock appears in most of his films himself? In one, he strolls across the screen smoking a cigar. In another film, you see him waiting at a bus stop. At those moments, the director enters the film that he has created. When you see him, you see the mind behind the film. And that is the miracle of the first Christmas. In the person of Christ, God entered the world he created. When you see Jesus, you see the mind behind the universe. Many of us find talk of God confusing, even frustrating. We feel that God is like a reclusive celebrity hiding in a gated mansion. We think, if God is there, why doesn't he make himself clear? Well, the message of the first Christmas is that God entered the world to make himself clear. As Jesus grew up, he made this claim for himself. He said, "If you want to see what God is like, look at me." Now that would be preposterous, except that his life backed it up. He loved the poor, he helped the needy. By all accounts, he had extraordinary power to heal and to restore. And he laid down his life for others. Dostoevsky, the Russian writer, said this of Jesus, "There is no one deeper, lovelier, more sympathetic and more perfect than Jesus. Not only is there no one else like him, there never could be anyone like him." Why is he so unique? Because he is the Word made flesh. The life of Jesus shows us that there is a God who made us and who loves us, who wants to know us and guide us and help us. A God who entered the world so that we could know him. So God doesn't have to be a puzzle this Christmas. Christ brings truth. Now to the second thing he brings, which is better still, reconciliation. The birth of Christ brings not only truth from God, but also reconciliation with God. John writes, Christ came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The serious news of Christmas is that we need reconciliation with God. Christ came into his own world, but there was no room at the inn. Every door in Bethlehem was barred to him. He was rejected when he first came, and he has been rejected ever since. A friend of mine who's quite old now often gives Christian talks in schools. On one visit, there was a sixth former who made it clear in every way that he was far too cool to be there. And as soon as the talk ended, the boy immediately put up his hand and asked the speaker, "What is your worst ever sin?" And then he sat back to watch my friend, the speaker, squirm. While the speaker paused and replied, "Oh, my worst ever sin, it's the same as your worst ever sin." Well, now the boy was worried. He was thinking, how much does the old man know? How much is the old man going to say? Well, the speaker continued, "My worst sin is the same as yours. I have rejected God." He went on to explain that God made us. He gives us everything. He made us to live in relationship with him. But all of us, me included, reject God. We ignore him. We defy him when we do the things we know he doesn't like. All too often we live in God's world as if he wasn't there and we were in charge. We have severed the relationship with God. We cannot mend it ourselves. So more than anything, we need that reconciliation with God. And that is why the birth of Christ is so wonderful. He brings reconciliation with God. As John writes, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There's a story from Brazil about a teenage girl who stormed out on her mother and moved to the big city. Her mother loved her still and moved to the city to search for her. After weeks of looking, with her savings running out, the mother spent her last pennies on hundreds of photos of herself, and she put them up around the red light district of the city and went home to wait. One day, her daughter, who had reached rock bottom, saw across a crowded bar a photo of her own mother. She went over, she picked it up, she turned it over, and there on the back in her mother's hand, it said, "Whatever you've done, wherever you are, come home." And the girl did. And with tears of joy, mother and daughter were reunited. It had been costly for the mother, but they were reconciled. Well, Christ was born so that we can be reconciled with God as his beloved children. It was costly. He was born in a manger, just a few pieces of wood nailed together. He died on a cross, just two pieces of wood nailed together. But he did it so that if only we will receive him, however we've treated God until now, we can know God as our perfect Father. So that we can be God's beloved children who know his protection and provision through the ups and downs of life, who know his pardon or forgiveness, God's children who know his presence and peace, and who have the prospect of eternity with him in the family home of heaven. So God doesn't have to be a stranger this Christmas. Christ brings reconciliation with God as his beloved children. Now, Nelson Mandela has been rightly honoured this month. He brought a large measure of truth and reconciliation to South Africa. And those timeless themes are also what God gave to the world in his gift of Jesus Christ. And like any gift, Christ has to be received. To benefit, we must receive him personally for ourselves. I know that many of us have done that. We know what it is to receive Christ and to believe in his name. That is to trust him and invite him into our lives as Lord and God. This Christmas we know the joy of being made children of God. Others are more like the innkeeper in the Christmas story who had no room. Sadly, we have no room for Jesus in our lives the rest of the year. But to stand before God at the end of life, having celebrated Christmas every year, yet not to have been reconciled with God, would be terrible. Still others are like the shepherds in the Christmas story. When those shepherds heard about Jesus, they realized his importance, and they came to Bethlehem to find out more about him. Well, there are many ways we can do that today. One would be to take this evening one of these excellent booklets, Christmas in Three Words, available as a gift by the door. This explains more of what I've been talking about in this address. Another way to find out more would be to join us for Christianity Explored in the new year. This relaxed course has helped many to unwrap God's gift for themselves. And all the information about that is on the back of the order of service. Well, whatever you give and receive this year when it comes to the presents on Wednesday, whether it's a horse, whether it's a baby brother, whether it's something less ambitious, may I wish you a happy Christmas, a Christmas full of the truth and reconciliation which Christ brings. Amen.